Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Another great day here in fabulous Las Vegas. Tonight's host, none other than JJ Nunn.
Good evening.
And we got the man with the mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How are you guys doing?
and part-time host here, Mike. We got some great guests here tonight. The A5 of Allison Motorsport, Mr. Mark Allison.
How's it going?
Good, thank you for being here. And, of course, the world-famous...
He's shaking his head already.
Welcome. out of your busy day, I know we all have day jobs and stuff. Thanks for being here, Thane.
No, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, that's world-famous in the eyes of Mr. Gary Wyatt.
Ay, ay, ay.
Don't let him live it down.
Before we get to you guys, we're
going to... Hold on here. Thane Alderman is reading his own notes. What's going on here?
These were the ones you left here last time.
No, those are the ones that were stolen from me last time you were here, Thane. I want to thank you for that, because now I've got them protected.
Yes.
Hey, we're going to get through here now.
I'm just happy, once again, Mark's here, and I'm not the oldest guy in the room.
Mark, you got that coming, pal.
Hey, watch out. Mark can fire him back at you there, JJ. He's got Arlie backing him up.
With JJ, I just consider the source.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's great to have you guys here. Of course, like I said, this is going to be the fastest hour in town here tonight. We've already been into it a couple minutes, and we're not going to be able to get to it all again, of course, but we're going to get back to Mark Allison here and Thane Alderman here in just a few minutes. But we want to talk about a couple things going on around town here and upcoming races and so on. Thane's already searching through the desk. Hide everything you got.
Hey, we'll get you 3-week-old notes, all right? Hold on.
So we'll get you something.
Get out our car part bills. Start giving them the car part bills.
See,
maybe we'll get some cash out of them.
Of course, this weekend at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, we have the opening night of the NASCAR Wheeling Series.
Yes, we do.
The Saturday, of course.
Yep.
You want to go out there and... cheer on Miss Kaylee Barker in the super late model, her new super late model. She's debuting this week. So,
and speaking of Kaylee Barker, if nobody caught the Channel 3 interview with her last night at 7 p.m.
Oh, I missed it. I wish you
it is on
it.
The front page of the Bomber Nation.
All right. Go to thebombernation.com.
Oh, we got it up there?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. Glenn found it again?
I emailed it to Glenn.
Excellent.
He got more notes than he knows what to do.
We'll get right to you here in just a minute. Okay, of course, if you don't like asphalt roundy-round racing, there's some more. If you're a straight shooter, you want to go to watch the NHRA races.
Yeah, the Nitro Boys are in town.
That's right, the Summit Nationals.
This weekend?
Yep, this weekend.
28th through the 30th, so that's this weekend.
Hey, you can go watch qualifying on Saturday night, final night of qualifying, and then jump over to Bullring after that.
That's right. Of course, if you want to get down and dirty, you don't want to watch asphalt racing, you can take a short drive over the Pahrump to Pahrump for the heck is that?
What are you doing, Gary?
Leave that alone.
Go lightly and associates?
Maybe it can
be. I was going to play the video, but it came through. I don't know what happened.
Pahrump Valley Speedway, you can go to PahrumpValleySpeedway.com, check out their schedules. You guys are going to be racing. You can cheer on the JC Motorsports guys, Mr. Gary Wyatt and JJ Nunn out in the dirt this Saturday at Pahrump Valley Speedway.
Yeah, we fire up at 7 o'clock. Pit gates open at 4, stands open at 6 o'clock. So come on out, check us out. We got all divisions running.
I don't recommend the Bullring. I recommend the...
Well, you know, hey, there's a little bit of everything going on for anybody. If you're in Southern California, of course, a friend of the show, Andy Daddario, he runs the Speedway at Willow Springs, little quarter mile out there in Roseman, California. Their opening night is this Saturday. I don't know if you guys ever raced at that track down there, a little tiny quarter mile track, but they're opening this weekend. You know, thanks, Andy. Of course, Andy Daddario was trying to spearhead to keep Orange Show Speedway open.
Resurrection.
Yep, yeah, and guess what? That actually... They must get right to them too. We'll get to you, Thane.
No, I'm just saying now it's back to asphalt.
Asphalt, right. It went dirt. Gary actually got to see it as it was dirt. I never got to see it, and now they're going to be reopening May 3rd. It's going to be their opening night as an asphalt track again, believe it or not. So
they scraped all the dirt off.
They're working on it this next few weeks.
Oh, man, I was hoping to make a trip out there this year with the bombers.
You're not going
to
see it as a dirt. You probably can as asphalt.
Damn. Oh, well. Havasu and Mojave's off, right?
Nope.
No, and this weekend, Havasu 95 Speedway, late models. We got, I think, Mark's
raising
his hand down there. I know where I'm probably going to be this weekend.
Well I guess...
Great,
if,
thanks, buddy.
Hey, I say, hey, Mark, you going to Brump this weekend? I guess my answer's already there.
Well, Havasu. Havasu late model race. Of course, you had to do some work on your car to get it ready for this weekend's race.
Yeah, we broke the motor last time down there, so put a new motor in it. We're going to go try it out.
Cool. I got a job down in Parker. That's why
yeah,
I tried to schedule it for races down there.
Yeah,
okay. In Parker anyway.
Yeah. Likely excuse.
Yeah.
Well, last time I went down there, it was spring break, college spring break, so.
Now we know why he was down there.
Let me tell you, it was pretty wild, but.
His wife might be listening.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that.
It was wild for other people.
Yeah.
All right. Thane, calm down. You got a stack of notes in front of you. JJ?
Yeah, I want to, real quick, let's get our sponsors out of the way here before we turn this over to Thane and
Thane
Mark.
And Thane. Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to thank Steve at Nevada Pick Apart, Anthony at Camp Out, Mike at Reliable Banner, Phil and Jim at Pickup Radiators, Dale and Nick at D&N Equipment, Mike and Sue at pinkmail.org, and, of course, the one and only food truck down in Pahrump, G&S Pit Stop.
That's right. And, of course, you guys know how important sponsors are, keeping us on the track. Mark, I know you have K&N. Been a long-time sponsor of yours.
Yeah, John Reedy over at K&N's been with us for like 15 years.
Wow, and that's really dedication.
Dave Herrera at EPW, Engine Performance Warehouse, he's been with us about 10 years.
Wow.
They really help us out a lot.
We can get some pointers from you on how to keep sponsors, because half the battle is not just getting the sponsors, it's keeping them.
Hey, Thane, can you quit tearing up the table over there and talk about your sponsor
Extreme,
here?
Extreme Paintball?
Yeah, Extreme Paintball. We're still trying to help them get going. They're a privately owned business here in Las Vegas, and they're doing okay.
Over off Craig Road Speedway. Craig Road Speedway. Craig Road. across from where the Speedway used to be.
Yes. Yeah,
right there.
Right
Extreme
down the
Paintball.
Street there.
So, Thane, your turn.
Yeah, now that you don't.
I was just trying to figure out why you have a air core tool on your radio desk.
Man on a mission, that's why.
That's where it got thrown.
You
got any sponsors?
You're a driver for.
Western General Incorporated.
Is that local?
Ish. They live here.
They live local. Okay. But they're local to Utah?
Actually in Ely. It's up
Ely?
By Ely,
okay.
Yeah. And Current, actually, between Ely and Tonopah is where that business is. It used to be H&B, but he closed down construction, Dan Howe.
Oh.
I do want to bring up I don't know how many people know, but Tiny Lewis Jr. passed away.
Last
week. So my condolences and thoughts and prayers are going out to Senior there and dealing with all that. So I don't know how many people knew that, but I thought I'd bring that up.
Yes.
Our sympathies to the Lewis family.
For sure. All right. Show's up for... Thanks, Thane. No, that's again, like JJ said, our condolences to the family of... Tiny Lewis.
On a good note, Jay Rohde's doing fairly well. He has his good days and bad days. IMSA Modified Champion 2013 down in Pahrump, and it's day by day. He's doing very well for what he went through. So I'd like to wish Jay a lot more happier and healthier days to come.
Cool. Of course, that brings up safety and racing and all that. Of course, everybody here knows about safety and racing. But I want to bring up something Mark had mentioned when he was on the show before, about when he was like 8 or 9 years old, something that he used to do. I don't know if you remember this thing or not, about going up underneath the stands and getting like stacking cups. And
yep. Who could stack the cups the highest? That's what we all did. None of us watched the racing, I don't think.
No.
I remember very few races at Craig Road, mainly like figure eights and the jalopies, but the other classes, we never watched them. You just, the kids all ran around. Plus, you find money. I remember finding $20 one time.
No way.
And this is in the 70s.
Did you share it with Mark?
No, I don't. I don't remember running around with Mark. Mark's older than me.
When did you two meet? Didn't you meet stacking cups?
No.
No, taking your money from you, right?
We were kids running around under the grandstands in the pits and, you know, going to the races.
Maybe he may be older than you, but he might remember more than you.
Yeah, that's true.
No, both of our fathers raced together at Craig Road Speedway. We both kind of grew up in that whole
in the pits. Did you guys pit together? Your dads, or they ran different divisions? Or
no, they ran the same divisions. They.
Yes, it's funny because
was
you guys,
this a rivalry or?
No, not really. We just grew up around in that same Craig Road environment. You know, going to the races and running around being little hellions under the grandstands and just.
Because they didn't have an area like the bowling does, like for kids to play.
Well, yeah, you weren't allowed in the pits until you were 16. So I worked on cars, but I never got to go in the pits at Craig Road Speedway and actually I sat in the stands. I'd ride with the car to the track and I would sit in the stands.
Well, that, you know, because I think you had actually mentioned something about wrenching on the cars and they not being able to get in the stands and maybe trying to find ways to sneak into the pits. Or maybe you mentioned that, Mark.
Yeah, I grew up the same way. I had on my dad's race car during the week at the shop, and then we'd go sit in the grandstands on Saturday night and watch the races.
That's pretty sad, huh? You work on these cars and you can't. I mean, you could talk about two families here that have been starting off at Craig Road Speedway, and I mean maybe even somewhere else before that.
He ran in California first, right, Mark? Didn't you guys? Or no?
My dad raced in California. I remember as a kid we would go to the Orange Show and the old Irwindale Speedway.
605.
Before that, it's going way back. It was called San Gabriel Valley Motor Speedway.
Well, no and kidding.
I think the last time I had those programs, they said Orange Show and San Gabriel Valley Speedway. They had one program for both tracks.
For both, wow. So they used to race. That was their series, basically, like both tracks.
Yeah.
And then from there, of course, Craig Road Speedway, and then your families knew each other.
Yeah.
Did you have dinners together at least? Something? Come on.
No.
Were you a bad kid?
No. Well, no. My parents got divorced when I was 5, so that pretty much ended my being associated with any racing until I was 13 so I could get it back on my own.
Right.
So for all those years, he was, you know, he started racing at Craig Road time.
Do you remember what seeing
I never
Mark?
Went to Craig Road from 75 until 81. So those years I didn't go.
No kidding. Of course, you raced out there, Mark.
Yeah, I started at Craig Road Speedway in 1978.
Wow. Man, you start thinking back and can imagine you said like jalopy cars, you know, what. I just can imagine the cars they had out there and, you know, brings up safety and stuff like Jay Rohde. I mean, these roll cages, what were some of the early memories that you have of these cars?
The big deal was if you got a seat out of a fighter jet, an airplane seat, that was state-of-the-art.
No, because it was probably aluminum back then or something.
Yeah, my dad's old pictures, and they've got pictures of Thane's dad racing. They raced in T-shirts.
That's funny.
That's just...
No helmet?
No, they had
helmets.
But no fire suit.
No fire suit.
Just a white T-shirt.
Just a T-shirt.
Now, if you told me there were leather helmets, I'd be impressed.
The cigarettes went with them.
The
huh?
cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve.
Oh, wow.
And they had a lot, most of the guys had lighters in the cars. and they would, under yellow, they'd push the lighter, and they'd be out there smoking a cigarette driving around the track.
Yeah. Payne's dad was really famous kind of for that, smoking while he raced.
That's funny.
I remember, what I remember is guys wearing coveralls and work on the cars with coveralls and...
Well, you weren't from Nevada. It was too hot to wear coveralls.
That was back east.
Yeah, well, that's back east.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. That brings up a good point. Do you remember the first time you were able to get in the pits, Thane?
Yeah, I remember the first time. I was
no, not the time
81.
You snuck in the
pits. No, I never snuck in. I don't remember ever sneaking in. The 81, I helped Billy Newman. He was running Sportsman. I was working on that car, and one night the wind was blowing the dust like right into the grandstands, and his dad, Gus Newman, who raced at Craig Road 2, he went to Bob Van Norman and asked if we could get moved around to the pit stands. So we actually didn't get in the pits, but I could see the pits from, you know, it was the closest I ever got. But other than that, I never, ever got in the pits at Craig Road.
Did you have an itch for racing at that time?
Oh, yeah, no.
That?
Since I was, as long as I can remember, I always wanted to do it. Since I was, as long as I can remember.
Of course, now you're the world famous.
Hot wheels and big wheels. And
We're trying to get these guys to get something together so you guys can race out here in the street. Since you guys never really raced together. They didn't come up with anything. Skateboards.
No, the neighbors were going to loan me hot wheels. The big wheels.
Big wheels, there you go. Green machine.
Yeah, the new ones that slide out or something. Get you guys sliding around the corner. Right-handed, not left-handed.
That's fine. We both road raced. He'd be all right.
I've really tried to talk him into going in the dirt.
So I was just going to mention that. You kind of took the turn to maybe do more dirt racing where Thane kind of stuck on the asphalt. I mean, what do you think caused that kind of separation or those paths?
I want to say your racing dollars, you know, how much racing for how much you spend. You know, you can do a lot of racing in the dirt for what you spend in the pavement. You know, your tire bill's less.
Right.
The wear and tear on the car is not quite as bad. It's a different kind of wear and tear. But,
and that's probably early on. I mean, now it seems like the dollar for dollar is kind of similar. Of course, asphalt always seems like it's a little bit more costly for whatever reason. But
and I've always equated... Pavement racing, it's a third the motor, a third the car, the setup, and a third the driver. All three have to be top-notch to be competitive. In the dirt, it's 25% the car, 25% the motor, and 50% the driver.
Wow.
The driver has more influence on putting a car up front. You know, you can't take an outstanding driver and put him in a pavement car that's a backpack car and think he's going to win. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
But in the dirt, you can take a mediocre car, put a really good driver in it, and he'll put it up front. So, and that's the part I like. I like it's more in the drivers. And that's like Thane alluded to, road racing is like that.
Right.
There's more, the driver has more ability to make a difference in a road race car and a dirt car. There's similarities in those two. That's why I think Thane would be a phenomenal dirt driver. He just doesn't want to get dirty, I think.
I don't like cleaning the cars.
Let's see if JC Motorsports guys give up two of their bombers and get you two on the track at the same time. What do you guys think?
They wouldn't want their cars scratched.
They know you guys can drive. You guys are probably two of some of the best local drivers from this part of the region here. You know, between the two of you, you guys have raced and won a lot more races than you can probably count. So,
yeah, Mark, do you keep track like Fitzgerald? Of your wins?
I write them down in a logbook, but I've never added them up.
Things like, what? I don't even know what stacking cups.
I just moved, and I'm unloading all these boxes of these trophies, and it's sort of like in Kaiser. Jason Kaiser was helping me. He goes, I didn't realize you won this much. I was like, these are old. That's why. You weren't even born when I won these races, so...
That's pretty funny. You know, speaking of that, like these old trophies and stuff, you know, the track, of course, you've raced a lot at the Bullring where you probably won a lot of these trophies. The configuration changed, they've repaved it and stuff. What do you like, the old track, new track? Or
the original track was
the
best track.
When stands were on the other side.
Yeah, when Alex Rodriguez built it, when it was called the Speedrome.
Yep, back then. Yep, that, it was called
I mean, Mark, I'm sure, agree with me. That was the best track.
that's the first, my first memories out there. I actually remember watching Mark Allison back in those days. It was a number five. It was a all white, clean. I don't even think he had any stickers on that car except for the number back then. So the only thing I remember, it's funny that I even remember that, and I don't even remember what year now, but it was a Speedrome, of course, and it was like one of the cars I liked the best because it looked so clean compared to all the other sportsmen I think they were back then.
Yeah, I think that's what they called them, sportsmen.
But
even though I think Mark probably won more races after Wayne screwed the track up and everybody had to run up to the top, and then but if they oiled the track down, Mark would be the first one to the bottom, like down in the infield, and he would just drive by everybody and win the race. It would always crack you up when you were watching.
What do you mean, Wayne? Who's Wayne?
Wayne Jacks.
Oh,
yeah, he's talking. They resurfaced the track.
Oh,
there,
I
and
see.
It totally changed the racing group. And if they dry sweeped it at all for any oil, it killed the track. It made it almost like dirt track racing.
Wow.
And it took the chassis setup and the motor equation kind of out of it. It put it in the driver's hands, and it was like dirt track racing on the pavement.
No kidding.
And it was, like Thane said, it was a riot when they did that because it was a mad scramble.
Nobody knew what to do, probably.
They'd throw the green flag on a restart, and it was just everywhere.
That's funny.
If anybody had the pleasure of watching Carl Trimmer at Tucson, that's what it was like watching Mark do that. You go down to the infield and then slide all the way to the wall. And down to the infield, slide all the way to the wall. Use the whole track.
That's what made him like dirt track racing so much, was probably that those times back then.
Well, my dirt track career kind of started early on with Pahrump.
Oh, really? Out at Pahrump.
My older brother John had built a car to race out there. And he asked me to start driving it. And, of course, I'll drive anything, anywhere. And I just liked racing the dirt.
Has Pahrump changed at all since you started racing out there?
Not really.
The same grandstand, just the new paint.
Yeah. 10 coats of paint to keep the splinters down.
I mean, they'll reconfigure the banks and the turns a little bit, but basically it's the same track.
I remember going there when I was 17 years old, driving out there to watch the races, and
wow.
It has not changed at all. I mean, it's the exact same.
Who was running the track back then? You guys remember? Who was promoting the track?
I mean, it was Bob Rudd.
Bob Rudd Memorial.
Yeah.
And that's who was running it then?
I think so. Back so long ago, I can't really remember.
We'd have to, maybe Anthony would probably know, DiBiase. He was racing there then, in 57 Chevy.
Oh, good old Anthony DiBiase.
Well, that brings up a good thing. How about some of the old cars that were racing out there? What kind of divisions were racing out there? Do you remember?
They had like a sportsman-type division that was... Oh, Camaros that were kind of
like the super stocks out
something
there
like they're
now.
Running now. And then they had street stock class.
Right.
Let's say a bomber type
what did
class.
What did you run?
The
sportsman
type cars. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How about the dirt surface? I know, like, you know, you go back east, you hear clay ovals or dirt. What kind of mix do you really need for a good dirt track, especially like Pahrump?
Just something that'll go hard, packed, and slick. That's what
no.
I want.
No.
If you want to go to Watsonville or any of the good tracks on the coast, Ventura, Antioch's the only track I've ever been to where it actually got wetter as the night went on.
The moisture.
The tide came in, and the track got wetter. I went to a World Outlaws race there. I'd never been to a track that got wetter as
that
the night went
funny.
On, a dirt track.
Right. Where is this? I never heard of it.
Antioch,
that.
California. It's up west or east of San Francisco.
Wow.
Right on the Sacramento, I think it's the Sacramento River. I don't remember. It's one of the rivers right there, but it's affected by the tide.
What I experienced that firsthand at Ventura. We went there for the first time.
No kidding.
And the track started to go dry, so we set the thing up for dry. And when we went out for the main event, the dew came in from the coast, and it's literally right on. You can throw a rock and hit the ocean from
the
track.
That's actually pretty cool.
That's crazy.
When we went out for the main event, you could see the cars leaving tracks in the mud, and I'm like, oh no, this is not good.
This is not good.
It was just a hammer down track the whole night.
Yeah, because like a lot of your cars are like the dry slick.
Yeah, I kind of pick and choose. I stay more towards the dry slick track. The heavy, tacky ones I steer away from.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Tide's coming in.
Change the pressure.
Yeah. Change the setup.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
a,
wild.
I've
never heard that.
A lot of the California tracks are that way. They get, like he said, the Duke can come in, the Tide, or just what, I mean, it's weird. It's because I've been to, well, Petaluma. You ever ran Petaluma?
Yeah, Petaluma does that.
Yeah, Petaluma does it. Antioch, Watsonville, Ventura. I don't know if, what was, Ascot. Did Ascot do that? I only went there one time.
Yeah, I don't remember Ascot.
We went to Riverside and then went over there.
But it's something to name. You know, it's the fastest quarter mile saltwater clay oval.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, even El Centro down, it's right down by the border. It's like 50 feet below sea level. And in the evening, the dew would come in. And they used a detergent chemical that they use for the farm roads to keep the dust down.
Oh, wow.
And they put that in that track, and it would go tacky. It would go from dry up in the heat race to tacky in the main event.
That's pretty crazy stuff you learn. Dane, how come you haven't been on the dirt? You haven't had an itch to get on
I've
there?
I've done dirt three times, and just never had interest.
You didn't have fun with it? At all. I went from pavement. Gary went from pavement to dirt, and I find it a blast.
I don't know.
You know, it just didn't do nothing for you, huh?
I love watching it.
Yeah.
But I've helped enough dirt cars that I want no part of dirt cars. The one year I helped the Saints run Pahrump, we went after running the Bullring in Bakersfield and Elkhorn, all the other, you know, run street stocks everywhere. We had all these accumulation of parts, you know, suspension parts. And in nine races, we went through every part in Pahrump suspension-wise, ripping them off the car because of the holes and stuff. And I was like, in 3 years, we accumulated all this, and in nine races, you lost it all. I mean, destroyed it all. So
we don't tear that much shit up, do we?
Well,
I don't
think so. Your name's not the Saints, and you're not flat-footing around the track either.
Oh, okay. So it's not so much the track, it's
the
driver.
Possibly.
Now
it
comes out. Okay. All right. That's a different story then.
I agree with Thane. I don't like cleaning the dirt off the car. That part's a pain. And some tracks, like we were at Mojave one night, and I bent all four wheels in holes on the track.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, as you get older, you pick and choose the track. Some tracks
are good. He's got a wheel sponsor.
I'll rent you guys, Tim. He'll wash your cars for you.
Yeah, but he can't bend the rims back.
So. Yeah. We've never really torn. I mean, we've been fortunate.
You guys need to go faster.
Huh?
You need to go faster.
Well, they got stock suspensions.
Stock
suspensions.
You know, I as long as I've been running down, I mean, between Dave Hall and Joe Rogers and now Chad Broadhead, I mean, we've had rough tracks down there, but you guys are saying holes like freaking craters.
Yeah,
I mean,
back like when Thane was talking, Pahrump sometimes would get rough enough that it would rip the wheel off your car just about.
Wow.
Ask Anthony about it. I watched him one night out there when he was running. He had a hole, and it ripped the whole suspension off his car, the front, and he flipped.
Wow. Gary, can you honestly say we've encountered holes? I mean, we've dealt with ruts and turns at the time because the weather, you know, Chad can't predict when the wind's going to come up and whether the sun's coming out or going to stay out all day or something, but I've never encountered.
Well, it's probably a lot better now, dirt-wise.
Yeah, they've gotten better at the material selection and blending and prepping the track. That it's better. It's definitely better.
I give kudos to Chad. I mean, you're running down there. I mean, in the past 4 years, I think it's been fantastic. It's gotten better and better since Dave and Hall and Joe Rogers had it.
There's nights like Thane's talking back in the infancy of Pahrump that you won the race not based on how fast your car was. It's that you dodged all the holes and kept
how you negotiated the track.
Yes.
How you dodged the holes.
Like off-road racing.
That sounds like fun to me.
Just set up a series of landmines.
Well,
Asphalt, you don't have that problem.
Well,
the track's pretty much the same.
Back
know,
in the old configuration of the LVMS, there was a hole, wasn't there, in turn three? I think it was when the... Well, it was like a dip. You had to like be in the right spot. If you the old configuration when the stands, I think, were on the other side, going into turn three, I think there was a...
There was a little...
A dip or a hole there or something.
There was a pucker factor dip is what it was. You
and there was,
drive by it with your foot on the floor, and then you didn't feel it.
Yeah, the old configuration of
you
the board.
You can do that on the dirt, too. Just drive through it and
oh,
you feel it.
Like you were saying, the old configuration probably the same one. It was just coming off a two. There was like a funny little place in the asphalt that if you hooked it, you came off two better than if you missed it.
Yeah, it's like now coming off a two on this configuration. There's a spot. If you hit it, you come off a lot faster.
All right, we'll get these secret notes. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get these secrets while we're on break here. we'll see you here in just a minute.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers, too. So join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at onwheelsnow.com.
Pahrump Valley Speedway. Where? I said Pahrump Valley Speedway, your local dirt track. Take the kids or just get out of town for a night of exciting dirt track action. This quarter mile diamond in the desert is just over the hump in Pahrump. The place to be on Saturday night with mini stocks, IMCA mods, cam coupes, and more. There's something for everybody at PahrumpValleySpeedway.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart your used or old vehicle and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Ooh. I'm Thane Alderman, and you're listening to On Wheels Now.
Genius Pit Stop. Your one and only food truck in Pahrump. Come and get a Navajo taco, gyro, Philly cheesesteak, or a pulled pork sandwich. For dessert, a delicious strawberry fry bread. Let us cater to your personal or office party. Follow us on Facebook for our daily specials. That's GNS Pit Stop, the one and only food truck you'll want to eat at again and again and again.
I'm Mike Brock from PinkMail.org, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com.
And we are back from break here with Mr. Mark Allison and the world-famous Thane Alderman. He's shaking his head, but Mark, of course, when the mic mics go off, the story starts.
She'll probably record the mics when they're not,
right.
And then have a special with just the off.
Because Thane kind of went in reverse. He took us back to his BMX days. And then Mark brought up, of course, the PIR show.
Yeah, the PRI.
What is that? Is that a...
It's a racing trade show. It's for hardcore racing.
It's like SEMA.
California,
it's like SEMA, but racing.
Yeah, there's no chrome wheels and dash covers. It's hardcore racing.
Wow.
Every kind of racing that you can do
and
is
that's
there.
Where Thane was world famous. He said your picture was on the...
I had just won the open comp here, and we went back there, I don't know, 2 weeks later for the show, and Late Model Digest, I think is what it was, I was on the cover of the magazine, and it was in every booth. And, boy, people will really talk to you when they when they see you and
so
they
you
see your face
it,
on
you
the magazine.
You could make it through the show.
Oh, it was great. I could walk into any booth, and they would talk to me.
That's
because
great.
They were like, hey, you know. Because,
you're this guy.
Yeah, you're like, hey. So it was kind of cool.
I can identify with that. In 2002, we were on the cover of IMCA's paper.
No
and went
in
the three-track championships, and that was the same-ish kind of deal. It was in a lot of the booths you go to, and you're the guy that won three-track championships in 1 year? Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's cool, though. I mean, you know, it's well-deserved, you know, when you start winning these open comps and these different series. There's a lot that goes into those, and, you know, kudos to you guys for what you guys do and the trophies you get. And
that trade show, that's the behind-the-scenes guys. That's the guys that build the cars, work on the cars, you know, from the NASCAR Cup teams to the local racers. That's their mix.
And they introduce all the new products there. And
do they still do that to this day? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
They just moved it back to Indianapolis.
Okay.
It was in Orlando, and it moved back to Indy this year. I think by far the biggest one I've been to. I mean, the thing was huge.
Yes.
But it's just it's something you got to go to if you're in this industry because just –
You probably have all the manufacturers.
Yeah.
There,
Every race car builder, every engine builder, everybody that makes
parts
a nut and bolt that goes on.
And then you put a face to the name, a name to the person you've been talking to on the phone, like you call,
place support or something.
Well, you're calling, whatever comp cams or CV products or whatever, and you talk to these people on the phone, and then you get to go back there and actually meet them, and it's kind of neat.
That's cool, Gary. Sponsor us a trip.
You learn about all the new products and what's the latest, and they got shocks now. You can adjust with your cell phone.
See, that's what I'm afraid of when I go to these things. I mean, that technology like that. Do we need it in our local racing?
Yeah. Well, that's
crisis. All
it's
out.
Not made for us, but not yet.
Eventually,
not
right.
yet. It isn't.
How about that cell phone traction control?
Pain will push that through. Hold on a second.
In the bomber division, the only real show we go to is Nevada Pick Apart.
I would pay your dollar. Dane says, when you call comp cams, I'm like, hey, I get all my cams out of Nevada Pick Apart. What the hell do you mean
cams?
That's our trade show.
Good way to cover your guys' butt.
I spend many a day at Pick Apart. So.
I have to hope that Steve gets new cars in there from parts that I have already picked off the old ones.
Before I knew Steve, I remember they had dollar days. They would have a dollar part day. And I remember going out there and just stripping every Torino there was. And then people wanted the trim and stuff, so I would make deals with guys. I would, if they took something, because I didn't care if it was perfect,
Yeah.
I don't care if the door is perfect, but if you want the trim, fine. You take the trim, I'll take the door. Pay you 50 cents, you pay 50 cents, and, But, man, I remember going out there loading my truck car up with parts back in the dollar days. They probably don't do that no more. But that was back
when that was in 1943.
Yeah, back in 88 and 89.
That's funny.
But Steve's much better, though.
A lot better.
Yeah.
See, Mark, you really haven't raced too many, like, the hobby stock type divisions, have you? You've mostly been in, like,
I started out at Craig Road in a 65 Chevelle I built in my brother's garage. And it was called them limited stocks. And they ran on an 8-inch tire. Mm-hmm. They had to be a car. And the most you could do was relocate the shocks, maybe put jack and bolts in them. But it was the second division down from the premier division at Craig Road.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, you guys talk about these old divisions. I just wish we could turn back the clock and see some of these races, It's pretty cool.
Come to Pahrump.
Back then, there was a personal pride in being one of the fast qualifiers making the trophy dash because that meant you started at the back. They usually had 16, 18 cars. The fast qualifier started at the tail end of the field. And they were 30, 40-lap main events on a Saturday
wow.
night, and you had to work to win it. Nowadays,
I like that. I like
yeah.
to see, because that makes good racing.
Yeah.
It really does, and it shows the talent of guys like your both of you.
Yeah.
You know, going from the back to the front.
Well, Bill Rizzone does that down in Havasu.
Yep.
He runs.
They roll
the
dice.
We were there. What Street Stocks? When we were there 2 years ago, the Street Stocks, they had their trophy dash, and those four guys that had won the race before, first ran the trophy dash the next race, and then had to start in the back.
I know for the late models, they do they qualify and roll a dice for the invert. So the invert's going to be anywhere from 1 to 6.
1 to 6.
IMCA Racing, they have a lineup based on your points. So if you're the point leader, you're never going to start on the pole. You're going to start somewhere in the middle of the pack. So a guy that's an IMCA champion, he had to earn it. He didn't start on the pole every Saturday night. He had to start mid-pack.
Did you look at the results from Bakersfield last weekend, Mark?
No, I didn't.
The guy that won the B main won the A main.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I was impressed. I was like, wow, that would have been a hell of a show at Bakersfield. They had, I don't know, they had 30-something modified there. So
wow.
I mean, that track's not hurting for car count, that's for sure. That's a neat track to go to.
I heard they had 116 entries.
Oh, for last week?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I know they had a B main, but Lee something won. You have to look it up. But
yeah, I haven't looked it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, anyways, yeah. He won the B and then won the A. I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, any
track. He earned that one.
Any track that could get over 100 total entries on a Saturday night, that's a good deal.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And is that on a consistent night out there, or is that was that a special event that they held?
Was that the Gary Jacob Tour? Memorial. I know they're having a Gary Jacob Memorial coming up, too. He used to be a sports writer on an auto racing writer for a lot of the write-ups we used to get were Gary Jacobs. And they're doing a memorial race somewhere in California. I think it's this weekend, but I don't know what. I didn't see how many cars they had, but at Bakersfield. But still, I was just bringing up starting in the back and winning. You know, there's nothing. I mean, guarantee that crowd was tearing that place down because, I mean, that's doing it. And they did it in 23 minutes.
Wow.
23 minutes race, you know, that's how long the race. The sprint cars took an hour and something. But, you know, one flip, that pretty much puts time frame on the sprint cars.
Yeah, some of my funnest races were at Mojave when I'd win my qualifying heat. And Joe, the guy that was running it back a few years ago, would offer me $100 to start in the back.
Oh, that's
I'd
cool.
I'd take that.
Right?
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
How about every time I go from the back to the front, $100, right? I've seen you do that a couple, two, three times in a night before.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Is that Bakersfield track? What size is that?
I think it's the third mile.
Have you
new Bakersfield? It's
the
a half mile.
No, the dirt
no, the
track.
Dirt.
Oh, the dirt track.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a third mile.
Yeah, it's a weird size.
A big quarter, small third.
Yeah, maybe a 3/8. But yeah, it's a neat track to go to, though.
Now you guys, of course, went two different paths. Mark, you got some racing coming up this weekend. You want to tell us about what your season's consisting of?
Just random racing.
Because right now Havasu's Winter Series is winding down.
Yeah, I think this is their last
is
race.
Is it the last race? Okay.
They might have one more, but I think it's the last
okay.
one.
So, of course, you're in the asphalt this weekend at the Havasu 95 Speedway out in Lake Havasu. It's about 2.5 hours away.
We'll probably go to Mojave the next
start
race, the next week after that.
Back in the modified.
So, yeah. I just kind of wherever it's close in their racing.
Right.
And time of year, I like Mojave when it gets hotter because it dries up and
oh,
it gets slicker.
Yeah. Right.
When their early season races, it'll stay tacky the whole night.
Now, you're going to be racing your A5
yeah.
car?
Yeah.
What are the differences between you got the 14 modified and you got the A5 modified?
The A5 is old. That car is 14 years old, but still
old is still good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sage said it's legal.
Yeah, the 5 car is IMCA legal, and we won a championship with it last year. It's a very good car. The 14 car was built for the Barnett Series.
Yeah,
for an open show.
I think you guys mentioned
it. And it just
that.
Don't quite fit the IMCA rules.
There's some small differences.
Got gestures here. There. So that's why it kind of set all of last year, because it needs to have some work done to it to run
changes.
IMCA.
Oh, cool.
That's why we've never taken it to the Duel in the Desert, because they're real picky there.
Well, that's something that you guys have raced in the Duel in the Desert in the past, haven't you, Mark?
Yeah.
But they've got a ton of cars, well, over 200 cars there sometimes. Yeah. And what's the highest you've ever been in the Duel in the
Desert? We finished eighth in it 1 year.
Wow.
The inaugural one, I made the A main. I didn't realize what I had done. Yeah,
that's pretty amazing. Wow.
I think I did this, got transferred from the C to the B and the B to the A.
That's cool. If you don't know, at the end of the year, every year at the half mile dirt track at LVMS, they have the Duel in the Desert race. It's a big deal. Cars from all over the country come and race there. It's pretty cool. I'd like to see a race out there again. You plan
on? They claim that's the second biggest IMCA race in the country. Their nationals in Boone. It rivals Boone. They have a good car count.
That's pretty cool.
And you get to see the talent. Like you said, the guys come from all over the country.
Do you plan on doing any more Duel in the Desert?
Mark and them will make me a good deal on a Victory Circle car.
Hey, if not, you can always go take the money out in Pahrump Valley Speedway. They have the Duel day after the Duel they started last year. Probably some easy pickings out there for you, Mark.
Yes, if it'll go slick, I'm okay.
We'll find out at the end of this year. Thane, how about you? You're not racing yet locally here at LVMS.
Nope.
Well, how come?
You have any duels in your schedule?
No duels. Nope.
What's the equivalent to your duel that you guys race? You guys have any open comps that you're going to be racing this year?
We have a 200 lapper. The beginning of June in Twin Falls, and there's a bunch of races up north in Washington and Montana. They have a ton of these big $10,000 to win 200 lap late
now
mile
you're
races.
You're talking about 200 laps on these smaller, like a third mile or
some of them are bigger, 3/8, half miles. Nothing bigger than a half, but they're 200 laps and they're $10,000 to win races.
That's pretty good. That's a nice purse. You don't see that in the dirt, do you, Mark?
Not anymore. They used to have big money races. They had one in Tulare, California for $20,000 to win. The $5,000 and $10,000 were all over the place.
Really?
When the economy went bad, them things kind of went by the wayside.
Huh.
But Thane talked me into going up there and racing with him a couple of years ago in Meridian, Idaho. And it was fun. That series he runs in up there, it's great. It's really cool.
Well, they have a decent car count. They keep up their Thane.
It's the open comp. All the 200 lappers. You could just basically just go run those, and not it's not really a series. It's like April this track runs a 200 lapper. May this track runs a 200 lapper. June every month there's a race somewhere, a 200 lapper somewhere up there, but we're too far away.
How do they run their 200 lappers? Do they run it where you just at any random time you need to fuel and do tires, or do they
They usually schedule stop it because most people don't have pit crews, so they do 100, you stop, and then some of the series you can put on two tires, some you can put on four, and fuel, and make adjustments. It just depends. The big one is the Montana 200. That's the one that that's kind of the more prestigious one now, because that one you can actually win. If you win if you set fast time, win the qualifying, they have a qualifying race to determine lineup, and you win the A main, I think you get, I don't know if it's $15,000 or $20,000.
Nice.
And one of those races, either Idaho 200 or Thane, probably knows, there's a bonus. If you're the fast qualifier and start in the back and win it, there's an extra, $5,000 or $10,000.
Just throw an extra $5,000, $10,000. Why not?
Yeah. Our series full inverts, and they actually ran the Idaho 200 up in State Line, which is up by Coeur d'Alene. And they did that. The first year we went, they did it like they normally do it. Well, and it was a Sunday race, which was hot. not for us, but them guys were dying up there because it was like 96 degrees. Mark was at that one. He spotted for us up there.
Oh, cool.
But the next year, our series took it over for 2 years, and they full inverted, and these guys screamed bloody murder. But by the end of the race, it's those guys that are always up front were up front again. It didn't really matter, and it put on a better show for the fans, and that's what it's about. It's about the people in the grandstands. They're the ones paying. We got to have a full grandstand so we can keep doing this. So you got to put on a good show. You can't put on a show when the the leader starts on the pole and lead every lap, and no one ever passes nobody.
Right.
They've also got a parity up there with their cars, the rules. Pretty much they've got it worked out where the different series or different tracks can run together. And I'm going to say back in the day down here in the Southwest, we used to have the same rules at Saugus and
Riverside.
And, El Cajon, Saugus, Orange Show, okay. Mesa Marin, and Vegas all had the same basic rules.
Okay.
And at the end of the year, they would do a series. Yeah. Each track ran one right after the other, and they did a point series with a point fund.
Wow.
So
that's pretty cool.
That was really cool at the end of the year. Now the tracks are so different in their rules that it's not cost effective to build. I mean, if your car is built to run at the Bullring,
right.
A lot of tracks won't even let you run, or right. They'll handicap you to where you're not going to
not
be,
competitive.
So right. you look at that and go, well, I'm not going to go over there and do that. So
yeah, it kind of sucks because I mean, both of you right now do race asphalt, you know, but there's differences in both your cars to where you're not going to really race together, I wouldn't think. Do you plan on it?
I plan on going racing in the Rocky Mountain Series for Spain this year. Yeah.
Cool. I can't wait to go watch, because if you do, I'm going
to
go watch.
Well,
you guys.
I took him to Salt Lake. We made a quick trip to Salt Lake last year.
Very quick trip?
Yeah. And he watched the races. He's like, okay, I got to come up here and race. I tell everybody, if you're going to go to one, you got to go to Salt Lake. That's the best track on the West Coast, in my opinion, right now. I mean, it's a racetrack, and it's bumpy. You know, it's got character. You can run 2-3 wide.
Wow.
It doesn't matter where you run. You can run high. You can run the middle. You can run the bottom. You can, you know, do anything you want. It's just really good racing there. It's a real fun. It's a real driver's track. It's not a horse. It's a little bit of a horse driver track, but not. It's not everything.
And that's just outside of Salt Lake. Is that the track you're talking about?
Yeah.
According to one of you guys gave a story, it's like only 5.5 hours away.
Towing.
Yeah, towing.
I know it's 427 miles from my house.
Yeah, about 5 hours.
Hey, it's not California. They don't have towing rules.
We got clearance to land when we came in. It was not a problem.
Well, the bad part is we drive all the way up there. We get there and it's raining. Mark's like, we drove up here to watch it rain. I'm like, yeah, I guess. So then we stood around for I don't know hours, and they finally ended up running the race, but there was no, they didn't qualify. They didn't run no heat races. They basically just ran the main event.
Hey, is this also the same time you pit crewed your own trailer and changed a tire?
Yep.
Oh.
His tire. Yep. Huh?
At the gas station. That was at the gas station.
Yeah.
While Mark was filling up. And he was changing tires.
Yeah. Hey, we were in a hurry. We left a little late that day.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing Mark and you guys race together. I know when I used to go to the Bullring for a few years there, I was like, man, Thane, he disappeared. I don't know where he's been racing. And obviously you ended up in that Rocky Mountain Series up there running with them guys. So that's pretty cool.
This will be my fifth year.
The Bullring has that reputation of guys just disappearing.
Drivers do that.
Hey, where'd they go? Hey, let Mark speak here.
It's like Thane said, if racing's in your blood and you truly like to race people and be competitive and not just start on the pole and run off with it, you go to a track like Salt Lake and you'll as a racer, you'll look at the track and watch the race and go, this is a racetrack. This is where I want to be. You know, the one groove tracks where everybody gets on the line and they have to push and shove and tear stuff up to make a pass. Guys that got it real deep-rooted racing, they don't want to race on those tracks.
They don't want to do that, no.
They want to go where you can have fun and race.
Right.
And that's what dirt does. Dirt definitely has that. So.
No, that's cool. I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully...
You know, a wise man once told me, when you leave the Bullring, you'll be much happier.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing it since I started. I mean, I started traveling in 90. Basically, as soon as I got a vehicle, well, actually, I had friends that towed me places. But we started running other tracks. And I don't know, it's just a different, you know, most of the tracks, when you go to them, they treat you really good. You know, because you travel so far, they treat you a little better. You know, you feel welcomed and you know, and it's just, I don't know. It's just, once you go run a bunch of tracks, it's different. I never really concentrated. I think I've only probably ran for points out here 3 times in all the years I ran here because I didn't really care. The one year, I was on one of them papers you had, I was I missed five races because they were racing in Havasu or Bakersfield or something, and one time I was leading the points, and I just left and went and raced somewhere else because I didn't care.
Well, too, like Thane was alluding to, racing other tracks, they treat you better, but you're only as good as what you run against. Yeah. If you run against the same guys every weekend
at
the same track, you kind of get in a rut. When you go travel to somebody else's backyard and you can beat the guys at their home track, that's an accomplishment.
Kind of brings the driver out in each one of you.
Well, we used to go to Mason Marin in the street stocks. In 90, we went. There was 126 street stocks there.
Wow.
Holy crap.
It was like Daytona for street stocks. I mean, it was the biggest race. But anyways, I never ever made the race there, you know, and that's like he said, you go down and you get your butt kicked, you get better.
Right.
And you get better and better. You know, after I was going down there like 10 times, I actually go down there on a regular show, and I could, you know, the first time I went, I got lapped. And then, you know, after 10 times of going, now I'm starting to run with them. You know, you figure out how hard you have to drive, and it makes you better, and you come back here, and you're faster.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had the same basic experiences. When I first started running the IMCAs in dirt in 99 and 2000, when I traveled to another track, I got my butt kicked. And then I realized I have to go back there and race those guys and learn how to beat them at their track.
Right.
And that's where the 1 year we won three track championships in
that's
1 year.
Cool. So you figured it out.
Yeah. Just that dedication and hard work.
Right.
You know, racing is, it's not easy.
That's cool. Hey, Thane, when is that Rocky Mountain Series opening night?
May 10th.
May 10th
in
is opening?
Twin Falls, Idaho, yes.
Okay. And you make a weekend out of that, right? You go up on a Friday after work?
No.
Hey, Salt Lake City, 5.5 hours.
Salt Lake, I will leave on Saturday mornings just because it's cheaper on the hotel rooms. And but Twin, we try to leave on Friday night. Try is the key word. Many times we've left at 4, 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and then drove the 9 hours and then race. And then
hey, just go with Mark.
Hours.
You can make it there in 5.5.
That one's a little farther. It'll take him a little longer. You know, and then drive back. We always try to drive back a little ways and then stay the night. Mark, he's a cycle. He'd drive all the way back if it was up to him.
Yeah,
but
we drove all the way back from...
No kidding.
Where did we go? Meridian. We went and raced up there.
Meridian.
10 hours. 10.5 hours.
After we're done racing, we just loaded up and drove home.
Well, you guys never really stick around anyways. I usually, when your guys' races are done, I usually see your trailer heading out to track. Yeah. You guys are going to stick around. I'm going to come say hello.
Yeah. Well, we've run in the early 2000s. There was day and night races where you would run a day race at, say, Pahrump and a night race at Mojave. So you'd load up
and just head to the next.
Head to the next track.
That's cool.
And, you know, depending on the time of year when they'd run day and night races together, if there was an opportunity to run two races in one day, you'd jump on it.
Right. That's cool. Hey, again, of course, we've only got a couple minutes left. I knew this time would go by quick, you know, once the story started going. Hopefully we can get you guys together again, another show here in the near future. I know, Thane, you...
About a year. We'll do
that. You're going through a lot of things right now, moving and all kinds of other things, so
yep.
Appreciate you being here.
Well, maybe a trip that we both go up north and race together, we'll come back with some story.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and keep us informed if you guys...
Let us know when you're going to do this.
I'm going to come
might
up
be an off
water again.
July 5th is the first Salt Lake race, so that's
okay.
That's one of their big shows up there, their big weekend.
You looking forward to the season?
Yes.
Definitely.
I didn't get to race much last year, so other than on my computer.
That's another show.
But you've gotten better on the computer.
iRacing and Thane Alderman. Oh. I don't know what alias he went under, but hey, thanks, guys, for being on the show. Mark Allison, Thane Alderman, appreciate you guys being here. Check out the archives at onwheelsnow.com, and we're live here every Tuesday for you guys, so come see us next Tuesday at 6 p.m. onwheelsnow.com.
Yeah, thanks a lot for coming in, Mark.
And
Thane,
always
really appreciate it.
Always
definitely, man. And next time we'll turn the mics off for about 50 minutes, and we'll turn them on for 10 minutes. How about that? Thanks again, guys. We'll see you next time, and thanks to all the listeners. We'll see you next Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.